The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. He's already said that one time. He's saying it again. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Hallelujah. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I'd like to preach tonight, one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. This shouldn't last more than about 10 minutes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is a great service tonight. Great and lingering Spirit of God. The devil hath no more dominion over you, the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions to tread on them. They shall by no means hurt you. Thank God. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come. Not I'm going to come, but I am come. I already have come. Hallelujah. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You may be seated. One fold and one shepherd. 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 Amen. One fold and one shepherd. Don't you wish I'd quit saying that? One fold and one shepherd. If I said that for 15 minutes and that's all I got said and dismissed, that'd be a good enough sermon. One fold and one shepherd. Everybody's looking for a better way. Everybody's looking for a gimmick. The eyes of our society are tuned toward an invention to cause an easier and a more inviting method. We are, our homes, our automobiles are full of gadgets and things. There's something new on the market every day. You got to have companies to patent all the little ideas and gimmicks that people are thinking of every day to make life a lot easier. It's an amazing thing with all the push buttons and all of the gimmicks and all of the things that we've thought of in the last 50 years, 75 years. Life is so much busier than it used to be. You'd think with all the things you got to take care of everything that life would be a lot slower. Life is a lot busier than it used to be when the ladies washed on a scrub board and churned butter with a mason jar and washed their clothes over a hot fire in a tub and all of that. And then they got the washing machines and all the kids got their arms in the wringers and went to school one day and poor old boy, Galen Brady, he had his arm in a wringer the night before. It was all black and blue. He said, huh, you should have seen it when I got out of that wringer. It looked like a pancake. Said it went plumb up to the elbow, and he had his sleeve up. That was the most exciting thing he'd had all year long. So inventions, they really have helped us along. And then I remember when my mother finally escalated to the point of having a new automatic washing machine, and it danced all over the back porch. It was quite an amazing thing. Not only would it wash clothes, but it could do the waltz. We've got a lot of gimmicks, you know. We've had a lot, and life is still busier. People aren't satisfied to let it go just with the common and normal living, but they're trying to ease and minimize the way of the cross. Like to take it and do it some easier way, but the easier they try to do it, the harder it gets. And the more invention they put on it, the more difficult it becomes to understand. There's one fold and one shepherd. The Apostle Paul made a statement that is almost startling. It is so realistic and so profound that it's almost startling. When he said, "If I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which I have already preached unto you, let him be accursed." And he wasn't satisfied with it said one time. He wouldn't let it rest. He said, "And as I have said before, so say I now again. If I or an angel from heaven come back to you preaching any other gospel than that which I've already preached to you, let him be accursed." I thought about that this evening while I was in prayer. I thought, why would he come to a church that he'd preached to and make the statement, "If I or an angel from heaven"? Evidently, the Apostle Paul meant a great deal to these people. I'm sure that his ministry meant a good deal. I think that people who have fathers in the gospel, they remember them no matter how many pastors they've had. They remember that man that preached the gospel to them. You can't strip that out of somebody, and it'd be senseless to try, because there's a love and appreciation, almost a parenthood, almost a maternal feeling between a soul and that man that preached the gospel, first of all to them. Amen. How many of you remember the gospel that was preached to you? Amen. You remember that. The Apostle Paul must have meant a great deal to those people. It must have been something special to them. He uses, I suppose, the most determined term that could be used anywhere to anybody when he said, "If I come back here preaching another gospel that I've already preached to you, you don't listen to me." And that's what he said. In essence, that's exactly what he said. But he made it even stronger than that. He said, "If I or you get carried away some night and the light breaks in the room and the ceiling pulls away and looks like two folds of a fantastic scroll, and down out of the heavens drops a blazing light of glory, and on that sheath of light comes treading an angel of God Almighty, and walks into your bedroom and up to the foot of your bed and preaches another gospel than I've preached to you, curse him. Let him be accursed." Why would the Apostle Paul take such a precaution? Why would he go to such trouble and great ends? Listen to the scathing terms he used on the Galatian church when he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Amen. You don't talk to saints like that. He did. Who's put the hocus pocus on you? Who said the funny word over your head? Are you so foolish that you think you can start off in the Spirit and then continue living for God in the flesh? He said, "You've been bewitched. You're talking to the medicine man. You've got all kinds of worldly idolatry in your church." He said, "You started off learning the works of grace." He said, "I preached to you the works of grace." And he said, "Now you're going to revert back to the works of the law." He said, "You can't make it just by doing things in your flesh, just by being good and trying to go through. You can't make it just by keeping certain precepts and going along with certain rules in the church. And I want to tell you that you can't make it just by abiding by a church standard. You can't make it just by singing the songs. You can't make it just by doing what everybody else does. You can't make it just by worshiping because the preacher says, well, that's all, praise the Lord. There's got to be something more than that. You started off in the Spirit. You can't end up just with a formality and a tradition and a cold hollow going on. You've got to have the Spirit of God gurgling in your soul. Why would the Apostle Paul come with these kind of words? He said, to the Corinthian church a while. I came not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with demonstration of the Word of God and with power. And he's talking to them about having gone from the place that they had once been in the gospel. Why would these men, why would the Apostle Peter come to the church speaking words like this? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Some folks are looking for a strange thing. Some people are waiting for some new spiritual gimmick. Some folks are waiting for some glory train that they're going to flag a ride on and get on it, and there's not going to be any more pain, no more trouble, no more worry, no more pressure, no more fight, no more consecration, no more praying through, no more renewings of the Holy Ghost, no more faithfulness to church, no more fighting the devil, no more putting up with the flesh. They think they're just going to step on board and fall back in a cushion of ease and be carried home to glory. But I remember one writer wrote, shall we be carried home to glory on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I will win. Increase my courage, Lord. Hallelujah. What we need is not just some kind of an escape. We don't just need a pass through the mountain. We need God to give us guts and grace to climb the mountain and say, Lord, it don't matter what comes or what goes. I'm going to believe your word and not depart from it. There's always been backsliding. Always been backsliding. Ever since God has had a law, people have backslid against it. Backslid away from it. Always been people who couldn't pay the price. That didn't start in 1974, 1964, 1954, 1944, or 1934. It started a long time ago. Eve backslid. Adam was a backslider. The devil fell out of heaven. Amen. That's why I want him on the platform tonight. I want to tell you what, the devil don't know how to handle us sometimes. Amen. Aren't you glad you know the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The devil fell out of heaven. Adam and Eve backslid. That's right. Cain killed his brother Abel. Well, you can just start at the beginning and watch all the way through the Word of God. You'd think, well, the God's been so good that everybody that's ever come into contact with him just walked with him and loved him. I wish I could tell you that's the truth. But you can read more accounts in the Word of God of men who failed God in the patriarchal days than men who walked with God. You can find more accounts during the kings of kings who were wicked. They did more vilely, the Bible says, than their fathers before them. And then you'll read the next one and say, and he did more wickedly than his father before him. And you read the next one and said, and there was none who did evil in the sight of the Lord like unto Ahab. And you can go on and on until after a while you wonder, well, what in the world? It looks like they go from bad to worse and from worse to worser. What in the world is happening? That's just the way it is. And don't think that in this day and time, when the devil is making his last ditch stand against the church of the living God, the church triumphant, that there are some who are not going to find that the winds are a little too strong, that the wooing siren song draws them out of the cradle of God's love. Don't think there aren't going to be some who fall by the wayside. The Bible says and teaches us that there's going to be a great falling away. But the Bible also teaches us that those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. It wasn't an easy thing for Jesus to do. When he observed the cross and surveyed the possibility of redemption totally, he prayed, let this cup pass from me. If I could be so bold tonight, I would tell you this, that our blessed Lord, in his humanity, suffered and languished between the possibility and impossibility and the probability and improbability of conquering destiny and time and the will of God. It was hard. He suffered in the garden. Don't tell me it was easy. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Don't tell me it was it was pie in the sky. Don't tell me it was a bed of roses. He suffered. He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. That when he observed the sin of the whole world told together in the cup of iniquity, he couldn't get it to his lips. It gagged his beautiful heart. He said, I don't want to drink that. And every one of us come to the proposition sooner or later. Every man's road someday leads past Calvary. We're either going to take God at his word, be obedient and faithful, walk with God in tribulation and in sunshine, go with him through the valley and on the mountaintop, be with him in the morning and still with him in the evening. We're either going to walk with God or something is going to come along that buffets us out of the work of God. But be sure that in the final and total analysis of this great dispensation of grace, when it's all totaled up, there are only going to be two scores to be kept against the backslider. And that is that there was one fold and one shepherd. And if a man's going to walk with God, he's going to love the church and he's going to love the Lord. Hallelujah. Wealth isn't going to count. Popularity isn't going to count. Ability isn't going to count. Talent isn't going to count. Good looks aren't going to count. Nothing's going to count but those things. That they walked with God in faithfulness, they loved the fold and loved the shepherd. Hallelujah. Why would the Apostle Paul come with words as he did? Because he recognized the extreme possibility of men falling away from the truth. He also recognized the humanity of all of the saints of God and of his own body when he spoke and said, I fear lest after I have preached to others, I myself may become a castaway. There seems to be that constant dredging out of the heart of those who try the most to do the most for God. It seems like those who give the most are tried the most. Those that pray the most are the ones who seem to come under fire the heaviest. I believe the reason for this is that God can trust you with more. The more you pray, God can trust you with more. The more you love the Word of God, the more testing God can put you to. I want to live in a place where God can put us to the fire. I don't want to live somewhere where it'd be disaster if we went through a trial, where it'd be calamity if we went through some trouble. I'd hate to think that it would be the end of the world for us in serving God if we got into some hard and trying circumstances. I want this church to be in the place with God that the devil can come in on us like a roaring lion with his fangs out, and this church can rise up with a grace and serenity and say, we've got one fold and one shepherd, and we're not afraid of what the devil can try and do. God is greater than all the power of darkness that can be against us. I'm talking about the church triumphant. I'm talking about God's body. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his church. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. Come see the bride, the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah. And John turned around. I want you to know that that angel had his arms full of armament. He was going down to destroy the things that had been made. He was going to take care of the last of the waning nations. He was going to go and turn the tide of all time and start the wheel of eternity with one turn of his hand. And the Lord stopped him. Hallelujah. And he came to John and said, come, John, before I go and destroy all that, I want you to see that God is going to make all things new. Come, see the glory of heaven. Come, see the dewdrop of glory. Come see the gem of rarest beauty. It's not the topaz and it's not the crystal. Amen. It's not the beryl and it's not the precious stones. But let me tell you what it is. Hallelujah. The Lamb's got a wife. The Lamb's got a bride. Without spot and without wrinkle. She's come here sometime in the morning. She's walked in here sometime in the evening time of a dispensation. Come from the Gentile nations. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. John, she's singing a song the angels never did sing around here. Woo, there's some glory in heaven that ain't never been here. The blood-washed throne just walked into the portals of glory, singing the everlasting song with everlasting joy on their heads. Ah, Shabakandala Mahakabahasha. Woo, hallelujah. Pandi Labakusha Mahatabahaya Hala Kisaha. Hallelujah! Glory to God. One of those disciples looked at Jesus when he's preached one of those hard sayings and said, Lord, who can be saved? I want you to know that every day the devil comes to me. He tries to perch on my shoulder and tell me that everybody's backsliding. Everybody in this church has gone down. Everything's gone to the dogs. Sure. That's what he is. He's a liar. Hallelujah. And the father of lies. If I listened to the devil very long, I wouldn't believe anybody had the victory. I wouldn't believe I was saved. I wouldn't believe that the Lord's going to come again. I wouldn't believe the Lord can heal the sick. That's right. Because the devil's a liar. He'll tell you everything God's not. God's not faithful. God's not good. God can't heal. God can't save. Calvary's passed away 2 millenniums ago. Don't you know that old rugged cross is nothing but moldy old dust in the ground somewhere? Where is the blood? Where is the blood? Huh? Where is the blood? You listen to the devil very long, and you can understand why we got 306 different cults in America. You can understand why more than 400 denominations. If Christianity claimed that they are the only ones that have the truth, you can understand why there's so much confusion. But I love to read that Bible when it says there's one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It encourages me in 1974 when I read the words of the apostle, when he looked at those churches and spoke to them and warned them and chided them. And I want to preach to you tonight. I want you to know that there's no other doctrine and no other gospel in the New Testament church than repentance from sin, baptism in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. And let me tell you something else. Glory to God. I want you to know that the devil hates a church that'll get a standard of holiness and preach the gospel and not be afraid. The devil would like to destroy that. Don't you know he don't like it? He's always trying the patience of the saints. He's always trying the patience of the preacher. The devil's always doing everything he can to make it look bad and dark. There'll always be some hypocrite around saying, I don't think that's got anything to do with the gospel. Don't you know you're going to run people off? I'm going to tell you what, we've run a bunch more in than a lot of churches ever did run off. I want you to know that people are hungry for gospel truth, and the devil is a liar. I want to tell you again, he is a liar. I'm going to tell you how filthy he is. He'll make your baby sick. He'll put a disease on your wife. He'll get your husband out of a job and blame it on God. And blame it on your sacrifice of giving. And say you wouldn't be in that shape if you hadn't given all that money to the church. Sure he will. Glory to God. All the promises, they stack up right there on the desk, you know. You open the Bible and they just come floating up out of there like a genie, a lamp that you rub. You just rub your hands over those beautiful pages and here come the promises of God. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hallelujah. I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God's not going to leave his own. He's not going to leave you alone. Hallelujah. Shamakatalabaha. Hallelujah. I cried unto the Lord from a dark pit, and the Lord brought me up, set my feet on a rock, established my going, put a song in my heart. Amen. I listened to that old apostle talk about how he was beaten, how he was left for dead. He crawled out from under a rock pile when the saints of God gathered around. He was dead. The Bible said they stoned him to death. They left him for dead, and the Bible said the saints came down and prayed, and the Lord raised him up. While he was gone, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about himself. So I was carried up to the third heaven. That must be the one above the second heaven. I was carried up to the third heaven. I saw things that were not lawful for me to utter. I saw things up there I can't get my tongue on to this day. I couldn't tell you what I saw. Glory to God. Now, we may not go directly there when we die, but he went somewhere and come back and saw something that he wasn't able to talk about. Amen. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. He talked about being stoned. He talked about being shipwrecked. He talked about being soaked. I don't imagine he had a life preserver on either. He said, I spent a night and a day in the deep. He's out there in the briny salt water, hanging on to a board, floating around out there like a cork, beaten just a few times under 300 with stripes. He could have pulled his shirt down and he'd look like a crossword puzzle on his back. Let me tell you, when he got through with all of that, he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear, that I might gain the prize. That's said, I do not say that I have attained, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think I've got it made. This is an apostle of God talking. I don't think I've got it made. But I'm going to tell you one thing I'm doing. I've got my nose to the grindstone. And I got my shoulder to the wheel. And I got my eyes straight ahead. Amen. I've got one Lord and one shepherd and one fold. And I'm not afraid. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. Hallelujah. Woo. You'll find out that preachers in the Bible were one preachers. One preachers. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. Hallelujah. There'll never be five or six ways. There'll never be two or three ways. Sympathy always calls at us. I've watched folks fall to the guile of sympathy. What about my grandmother? She didn't have the Holy Ghost. Smoked a corn cob pipe. Best woman in the world. Preach a little while. No, forgive me. But our God made a simple way. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're serving a God that made a simple way. We only got one thing to do, and that's witness. Witness for what God has actually done for us. Not for the Joneses or the Kaczynskis, but he wants us to be his witness. A witness. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. And ye are my witnesses. Hallelujah. And Isaiah said, ye are my witnesses and my servants whom I have chosen, that you might believe that I am he, and before me there was no God born, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There isn't any. And all God asks us to do is actually tell our neighbors, tell our friends, tell the people we meet, tell the checkout counter girl or man about the church that we have here. And it's possible for him to see and to experience the early church, what the early church really done. Hallelujah. I like this one way. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody that loves this one way, say praise the Lord. Praise God. Don't you know the devil's upset tonight? I can feel the devil a-fighting everywhere. He's got problems with us now. Praise God. I believe I'll play this tambourine a while. Woo, hallelujah. Let's sing, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in, and when they crown him Lord of all, when they crown him Lord of all, oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, when the saints go marching in, well, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank God. The thief doesn't come to do you good. The thief doesn't come to take care of you. The devil doesn't come. He'll make believe he's going to rock you to sleep. He reminds me of Little Red Riding Hood's wolf. He crawls up in grandmother's bed and puts on her bonnet and pulls the cover up under his big, long, hairy chin and tries to lick the yellow off his canine teeth, and then he puts on his best grin, holding his upper lip down as far as possible over his fangs. And he says, come over closer, darling. You've been mistreated, dear. And then when you get closer, that's right. They take your head off, lob your arm off, whop your leg off, just anything, just any member of your body that you get close enough to him, he'll give you just, and then he'll grin at you while he licks his chops and while you drain your good spiritual blood out on the floor of some prayer room somewhere and feel like you've lost the whole world and everything's gone. Let me tell you something. The devil has always been a fake and a liar. Hallelujah. This is the day and the hour for us to believe God as we never have before. To believe the Word of God as we never have before. The Word of God is true. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You believe that?
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And there's one shepherd and one fold. There are not three ways or six ways or 10 ways. And with all the modernizing of this world, there will never be a better way to walk with God than to carry the cross, to pray through, to keep struggling, to keep walking, to rejoice and carry a cross with dignity. There's never going to be a better way. There's not going to be a better way. Jesus said that if you want to be my disciple, if you want to come after me, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You say, I thought this was going to be a wonderful walk. It is. I thought this was going to be an encouraging way to go. It is. I thought this was going to be better than living in sin. My friend, it's a bunch better than living in sin. It's better in this life and it's better in the life to come. Listen to the man who's been beaten. Listen to the man who's been tortured. Listen to the man that spent the last 8 years of his life in an old prison. Listen to the man in a Roman jail when he talks about it. You know what he says? I'm persuaded, amen, that neither life nor death, nor principalities nor powers, nor angels, hallelujah, the things present and the things to come, any creature can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Can anything take me away? Hallelujah. Can anything separate me from the love of God? Can anything move me? None of these things move me. But he recognized the constant possibility of people growing cold and the devil constantly pumping the minds and spirits of men and women to accept some lesser degree of spirituality, something that wouldn't hold, something that won't work when the storm's on, something that won't last when trouble's on the sea. The only thing that's going to stand is old-fashioned holiness, godly doctrine, the name of Jesus Christ, the truth as God has laid it down. There's one fold and one shepherd, and that's the way it is. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And I want to tell you today that in the midst of great revival and in the midst of the gathering the summer fruit, there is going to be the constant bombardment of evil against the work of God. We need to stop searching for the utopias and start walking with God in the Spirit and do what the Word of God says and hold the promises of God to our hearts and believe every one of them. Amen. Now the Bible said he will not fail one good word of his promise. He'll keep his word. He said he'd baptize people with the Holy Ghost. He'll do that. He said he'd heal your body. He'll do that. He said he'd keep you in the hour of temptation. He'll do that. He said he'd be with you to the end of the world. He'll be there. Hallelujah. You can trust in him. He'll be there. Men will let you down. Folks will let you down. Business people let you down. But God will never let you down. Amen. He'll walk with you when no one else is walking. He'll talk with you when no one else is talking. When the skies are dark, he'll be your sunshine. When the way is dim, he'll be your pathway. Amen. He'll be your guide. I've seen the time when God took people, it seemed like, roughly by the arm and drew them to the side. I've watched them bitterly complain against God, only to find out in a few days that the Lord pulled them away from an old chuck hole, pulled them away from a pitfall, kept them away from something terrible. I want to learn to trust the Spirit of God. I want to learn in a service like this tonight to be able to cope with the spirit of evil and be able to worship God. I want to be able to glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all say hallelujah. Well, if the devil could ever destroy our confidence in God, then the Lord could lead us and we wouldn't hear him because we think we can add something. I want you to know he needs no co-redeemers. He doesn't need any help. He's got radar that can see through the fog. He knows what the darkest night brings forth. He knows every turn in the road. He knows every problem.
He knows what the devil's going to pull on you before the devil gets it out of his sack of tricks. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices. He went on a little while and said, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. He went on just a little while and said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. He said, then of course, he said, this is the gospel that I preached unto you, by which ye are saved, by wherein you stand, unless you have believed in vain. There was constantly in his message the possibility of falling away. And I want to tell you tonight that anybody in this place could be the next to go. I'm not preaching a negative message, but I'm telling you that there's nobody equipped with any kind of a suit that can keep you away from the heat of temptation. I don't know anybody that's got the Holy Ghost that has some kind of a hattie-call religion. You see people that got a smile on their face. Come on, everybody say praise the Lord. You see people that's got a smile on their face. You see people that you know are going through trials and they are rejoicing and they come to church and glorify God and get out and shout in the aisle, and you know some of them are widows and some of them don't have a husband or some don't have a wife or some of them lost a boy or a girl. And you see some folks that have been under a tremendous strain, they come to church and glorify the Lord and wave their hand. You think they got something you hadn't got? I tell you what they've got that you don't have. They've got guts, grit, and grace. They know how to use what God's given them. There's not one soul under the sound of my voice tonight that's got anything that anybody else in this church don't have. But I'm going to tell you the difference. Some folks know how to use it and other folks don't. If you'll take the promise of God and say, God gave me this. I know what this Bible is for. This is my road map to show me which way to go. This is my light in the dark night to show me the pathway. Hallelujah. This is my bridge over stormy water. This is my peace, be still. This is rise, take up your bed and walk. This is I will, be thou made whole. Woo, hallelujah. This is everything we need. And when you settle it all down, there are no hattie-calls. There are no special cures. There are no super saints. There are no super preachers. There are no super people. There are no super experiences beyond the experience you have received. The only difference between you and anyone else is somebody pays the price to walk with God just a little closer. But there's a stall right next to him for you. There's a place right next to the heart of God for you. There's a place in consecration for every saint of God right next to God's heartbeat. And there's not one saint in this church that can't take advantage of it. Anybody in here under the sound of my voice tonight can either take tribulation or heartache as a trip to get out and exit off, or you can take it as a place to draw near. It can either be a stepping stone or it can be a stone on your neck. Amen. A millstone can grind wheat and make bread, or it can be tied around your neck and take you to the bottom of the ocean. Amen. Tribulation can be the making of you or it can be the breaking of you. I've seen some folks under tribulation and trial come out of it saying, thank God. I want to thank God. He kept me by his grace. Hallelujah. They come out with smiles and rejoicing. Hallelujah. That's the church God's looking for. I've seen other folks come out complaining and weary, prayerless and careless, unconcerned and unknowing, unwise and without knowledge and without the fear of God, saying, well, I've done my best. I've tried to live for God and everything goes against me anyway. I do the best I can. This is what happens. No, you don't pray. You don't love God. You don't seek the Lord. Everybody's got the same potential and the same possibility. And when you narrow it all down, there's just one Lord, one shepherd, and one fold. Amen. And everything else depends on you. And I'm going to walk with God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we? And let's all sing, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. Amen. When I start thinking about it, I get happy. I can see every saint of God. I can see every saint of God rejoicing and glorifying God. The devil's got faith. He sees every saint of God backslid, every woman with a hair cut off and a face painted, every man with a cigarette hanging out of the corner of his lips and a chaw of tobacco in his jaw and a whiskey bottle in his right hand. Sure, the devil's got lots of faith. He believes he's going to be able to destroy you. Did you know that? The devil thinks he's going to get you before it's all over. Do you know that the soul of man becomes the testing ground and the battleground between heaven and hell? The devil thinks he's going to win,
And the Lord's got promises for the people of God, and they can't help but win if they stay with Him. One Lord and one fold. The Word of God told us in the Spirit of the Lord tonight that God had put us in a fold, had put us in a shield, had set a wall of fire around us. Thank God. That's wonderful. Did you know that? Hallelujah. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to draw near to Him this week. Hallelujah. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Some folks think they're going to make it and not pray. Some folks think they're going to make it and not faithful to God. Some folks think they're going to make it and they hadn't read the Bible in the last 2 weeks. It's just one fold and one shepherd.